Texas Congressman Ron Paul is campaigning to be the president of America. But you might not know that if you just watch mainstream media. Why is he omitted? Why wasn't he invited to the Republican Jewish Coalition's forum for presidential candidates? Just who is Ron Paul? This week on American Dream, we'll answer those questions and more. I'm your host, Nisa Islam. Congressman Ron Paul is a Republican, but he's not just any Republican. He advocates libertarian foreign policy that often puts him to the left of Democrats. He's called for the withdrawal of troops from Iraq and Afghanistan, and he said that an Iranian nuclear program would not be a problem. Plus, he's questioned the billions of dollars in aid sent to Israel every year. On the streets of D.C., I asked people, what do you think of Congressman Ron Paul for president?
I really have no opinion, honestly. Maybe I'm not the best person you can ask.
He has a good foreign policy, despite what most people say. He'll probably keep us out of war, but I don't think he has a realistic chance of winning.
Don't really know much about him. I think that... if he's out to just, you know, help people that are like in lower class and, you know, make sure everything's even, I think he's okay.
Well, I agree with him on the necessity for overturning the Patriot Act. Other than that, I cannot agree with him on his conservative philosophy, which does not accord with my own.
Congressman Paul's views are so far off the Republican course that many Democrats find him very attractive. Congressman Paul even has a shot at winning the Iowa caucus. Christopher Chambers teaches journalism at Georgetown University. I asked him, why were some Democrats choosing the congressman over President Obama?
It's interesting, of all the Republican candidates, that libertarian sort of bent is appealing to a lot, even liberals, because, you know, and it's not just because of the stances on drugs and things like that. I think it's because he looks at a different angle and comes up with, or he comes from a different angle and he looks at different solutions rather than either the hyper-capitalist solutions of a Romney or the social conservative solutions of a Michelle Bachmann or the kind of conspiratorial conservative solutions of a Newt Gingrich. So it's across the board. It's very interesting, and I think people are going to be studying that for a long time.
Christopher Simpson teaches journalism with a specialty in media law at American University. I also asked him the question, why are some Democrats choosing Congressman Ron Paul over President Obama?
Some Democrats are looking favorably at Ron Paul, in part because he takes a strong stand on international issues that appeal to some Democrats, and has made statements along the lines of quick end to American involvement in wars in the Middle East, in Afghanistan, and so on. That's appealing to part of the population. Let me say it a little bit differently. Americans tend to like a person who sticks to his beliefs and speaks frankly about his beliefs. And that's true of Ron Paul. I mean, of course, you can and should debate those beliefs. But nevertheless, I think those are elements of his appeal.
Dr. Wilmer Leon teaches political science at Howard University and hosts a radio show also that deals with the politics of the day. I asked him the same question. Why are some Democrats choosing Congressman Ron Paul over President Obama?
There are many who are gravitating towards his anti-war stance, which is what brought a lot of particularly independents over to the Obama side in the 2008 election. And he's that's a huge, huge benefit for him. And I think many believe that he will stick to that ideal much better than the president did. I mean, the president, yes, has brought the troops out of Iraq, but has escalated in Afghanistan and also got us involved in that in the assassination of Muammar Gaddafi. So I think there are many who see the anti-war stance as being very key to support for Ron Paul. Also, talking about fiscal responsibility and all of those types of things. But that can be, when you start looking at that libertarian ideology, that can start to take you down a very, very perilous road. So people need to really pay attention. You will get what you vote for, and people need to pay attention to the real practicalities. We got to move beyond the theoretical and really start looking at the practical applications to some of what Ron Paul is talking about, because that could be, you know, it's hard to sell, in my opinion, it's hard to sell smaller government to people who needed government to enforce the Civil Rights Acts, who needed government to enforce the Voting Rights Acts. It's hard to sell less government to people who have actually needed their government to level the playing field. And that, to me, is where we really have to talk to Ron Paul about what's this, practically, how do you plan to implement what it is that you are advocating?
Congressman Paul is not your regular Republican. In fact, he's hardly like any of the other Republican presidential candidates. The Washington Post wrote that he said government tramples liberty. He's by far the most radically anti-government candidate in the running. He'd boil the federal government down to a few skeletal functions. He'd end the welfare state, cut every dime of foreign aid, halt overseas military action, and bring home all the troops. He'd return to the gold standard and abolish the Federal Reserve. Congressman Paul opposes not only recent government shenanigans, but also stuff that happened 50 or 70 or 90 years ago, such as the creation of Medicare, 1965, Social Security, 1935, and the federal income tax, 1913. He's against national banks, the first of which was the handiwork of Alexander Hamilton in 1791. Again, he's not your average Republican. Many say the Israeli lobby and the neoconservatives in America hate him. His views make him stand out among the crowd, but mainstream media seems to be ignoring him. I asked our guests why.
I think he's viewed as a fringe candidate with a low, low but strong or hardcore popularity in the United States. I think the assumption in the mass media is that he cannot be elected. And so the assumption then can turn into reality in the decisions that media companies make about the content of their presentation.
Michelle Bachmann is funny to watch and dangerous to listen to. Herman Cain was entertaining. That was a political, a Republican minstrel show. So he was funny to watch, dangerous to listen to. And Rick Perry along the similar lines. Ron Paul is a 77-year-old, serious, thinking, thoughtful politician. And so you could probably ask the same thing of not only about Ron Paul, but about the former governor from Utah, Huntsman. Another reason. Why isn't Huntsman getting any traction? Well, because both Ron Paul and Huntsman, in terms of Republican perspective, are not considered to be conservative enough. They're not considered to be serious candidates who could, in fact, win the Republican nomination. And so I think those things go a long way in why Ron Paul is, to a great degree, has been ignored by mainstream media up to this point.
Precisely for that reason, he doesn't fit into a box. I mean, you could make some conspiratorial kind of claims that because he's on the fringe, let's just say, they don't cover him, but plenty of these candidates, especially on the Republican side, are on the fringe. It depends on what you define as fringe. I think that, you know, the media is not kind to people who don't fit in a box, and that's a paradigm that's been with us forever, unfortunately.
The first test of how Americans feel about the Republican presidential candidates is the Iowa caucuses January 3rd. Congressman Paul, though not leading in the polls, many believe has a good chance of beating the so-called leading candidates, former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich and former Governor Mitt Romney. Dr. Leon explains why.
Ron Paul is going to do very well in Iowa. He very well could win. Iowa, the caucuses are a very unique animal in terms of American electoral politics. And what a lot of people don't understand is how important campaign infrastructure is in Iowa. Because the caucuses are unique in terms of you have to be able to get your people to the caucus locations, which are spread out all over the state. So that requires the old grassroots politics. You got to have the vans, you got to have the buses, you got to have the people to get your people to the locations. And then what is important is you have to have a representative at each location to actually caucus or debate present on your behalf. That requires a lot of well-informed, articulate individuals who are out in all of these locations campaigning and caucusing for you. And Ron Paul has that type of organization. When you look at the polls in Iowa and they're showing that Newt Gingrich is doing so well in the polls, that's true. But that doesn't necessarily equate to doing well in the caucus, because Newt Gingrich has not had the organizational structure in Iowa to actually implement what it is that he's trying to achieve. I'm not saying he won't win, but I'm just saying that people have to pay very close attention to the difference between doing well in the polls in Iowa and having the infrastructure in place to actually bring the votes where they need to be.
The Republican Jewish Coalition did ignore Congressman Paul when they had their recent meet and greet. He was the only presidential candidate that wasn't invited to participate. The group's director, Matt Brooks, said Congressman Paul has misguided and extreme views. I asked our experts to explain why Congressman Paul was excluded.
Well, because I think to a great degree he's considered to be an outlier. A lot of his positions have I hate to say that they're anti-Israel as more as they're pro-practical and they're pro-American. But he has never really been a deciding element in the debate. And so he, to a great degree, has just been allowed to be this outlier who isn't really taken very seriously. But when you look at some of the various debates and forums that other candidates are being invited to that are being sponsored by pro-Zionist groups, Ron Paul is not there.
Ron Paul was omitted from the American Jewish debate with the Republicans, and it really wasn't a debate. It was just basically a love fest. It was, you know, how we define debate is pretty dumb in this country. But he was omitted not because of the fringe aspect in general, but it was the fringe aspect in terms of Israel, and that was the problem, because he did not, you know, talk the talk or walk the walk that so many candidates, particularly in the Republican Party, have had to do. And that's basically the only reason.
The situation in the Republican-Jewish meet-greet debate, if you want to call it a debate, it wasn't much of a debate, I think is a bit different. And that is that Paul's point of view on a number of Middle Eastern issues do not coincide with that particular trend of Jewish thinking. There's more than one trend of Jewish thinking in the United States, and that particular trend represented the far right wing of Jewish thought in the United States. Paul disagrees with that group, and as a result, they just didn't ask him to come. They didn't want to hear his point of view. They already know what it is.
Israel is the top travel destination for working members of Congress and staffers. Israel gets more aid than any other country and more than some countries combined. What Israel wants from America, Israel gets. And then there is Congressman Ron Paul. When asked at the debate about aid to Israel, Congressman Paul said, "To me, foreign aid is taking money from poor people in this country and giving it to rich people in other countries, no matter how well motivated it is." When asked if Congressman Paul would cut foreign aid to Israel, Congressman Paul answered, "I would cut all foreign aid. I would treat everyone equally and fairly." I asked our experts, why hasn't he surrendered to Israel like other Congress members?
Ron Paul is an unusual person in terms of his philosophy or his analysis of the world. And he follows a particular trend that on the one hand sees everything that is good in society, comes from capitalism, and everything that is bad in society comes from the government. And that he wishes to keep those two things as separate as possible. One of the consequences of this set of beliefs is that he tends to view the United States as very much an island in the international arena, that it should not be engaged in imperial adventures overseas, either economically or militarily.
I think that realistically, he's probably the only candidate, and to some extent you might be able to say this about the president, to some extent, because he's made comments along this line, but the bottom line is he is the only person who has explicitly stated that in almost psychological terms, that, you know, the Israeli lobby has come to define the term friend as the way psychiatrists have defined the term enabler or codependent. You know, if you're a true friend, you're not an enabler or you're not a codependent. You don't say, all right, let me get some more booze for you. Let me get some more drugs for you. You say, look, you got to get off the drugs. That's what a true blue friend is. To some small extent, the president has come from that angle. But Ron Paul has been the only one to really articulate that. It's like, no, we're not, you know, we're your friend. But that doesn't mean we're your enabler. We're not your pimp. We're not your pusher. We're none of that stuff. A friend means when you're wrong, we tell you you're wrong. You know, we take you to task. And that's not what that, and he's been the only person to articulate what that means.
One of the things that that organizations such as those are afraid of is honest, intellectually based debate. They are entrenched in their ideology, they are entrenched in their policy, and they are not interested in real, honest dialogue and debate. And that is why Ron Paul is not going to be asked to be in the room, because he's going to raise serious issues that Americans really need to take into consideration as it relates to American policy in that region. And because I think it's very important to understand that there are a lot of American Jews that are not Zionists. One of the things that I say on my show all the time is it's very important to understand that not all Jewish people are Zionists and not all Zionist people are Jewish. And so there's a huge contingency of people, Jewish people in this country, that believe that the American policy towards Israel is wrong. So when Ron Paul uses a fact-based basis to make his or substantiate his positions, and then people want to tag him as being anti-Semitic and anti-Jewish and all these things that folks like to try to use to stifle honest discussion, those arguments really don't hold with Ron Paul, because Ron Paul is not by himself. There are a lot of Jews that believe that Ron Paul is right.
Congressman Paul doesn't fit into a neat box of definitions about Republicans. Sometimes he sounds like a Democrat, and other times he sounds like a Libertarian. He rarely sounds like a Republican. On the streets of D.C., I asked people if they thought it was time for Congressman Paul to start a third party or run as an independent candidate. Here's what they said.
Maybe as an independent will be the best. I think as an independent, but like I said, I'm not really into politics, so I'm not the best one to answer that question.
Well, I think independent or third party, maybe he'll give a wake-up call to the other two parties if he's running.
Most likely, I would think he should do a third party just so that he can get out there a little bit more and, you know, people can know a little bit more information about him.
That's a hard question to answer, and I think it's really up to the individual. Now, I do vote for third-party candidates. I have always voted for third-party candidates since 1968. And I would probably vote for him if he was an independent or a third party.
Should Congressman Ron Paul start a third party or run as an independent? I asked our guests.
It's been time for a long time. The problem, there are a number of problems with doing that. And one of the major problems is money. The two-party system that exists in this electoral process is set up to a great degree, or has become so controlled by money, that third-party candidates have a very, very tough road getting on the ballot in all 50 states, then being able to carry that campaign throughout all 50 states. It is an incredibly, incredibly financially challenging undertaking. And then, too, I think that many in this country who don't understand political elements in other countries will then start to see this more as socialism. Oh, this, you know, this is what they do in socialist countries, as though that's wrong by some, not understanding that there are numerous parties in parliament in Britain, and there are numerous parties in parliament in France. But see, they see this more, as soon as you use the word socialism, then all of a sudden, you know, you're two doors away from communism. Oh my God, we can't go there. So I think not only are there practical financial problems with a third party run, but then you also have just some cultural issues that make it very, very difficult for a third party candidate to get traction.
Ron Paul should probably think about going as an independent, particularly on the basis of his foreign affairs views, because I don't think it finds much currency in the Republican Party as presently constituted, whether you're talking about Israel or whether you're talking about interventions across the board, whether you're talking about issues of governance and revolution in Arab countries right now. I think he stands out. But the problem is, I think, in terms of his power base, how he gets his votes in Texas, et cetera, it'd be tough for him to untether himself from the Republican Party. And I think in terms of his personality, he'd rather stick with it so he could really hammer them and try to push them in a certain direction. And I frankly don't blame him for that.
The question depends upon how one views the situation in the United States. Paul himself says that he's considering a third-party run. And I think that the net result of the third-party run will probably damage the Republicans more than damage the Democrats in the upcoming election. The prospect of a third-party run in American politics in the present time is that it's very difficult for that to be successful. The machinery or the structure of politics is such that that type of new ideas or even old ideas have a great deal of difficulty entering into the mainstream political decision making.
While mainstream media may be trying to keep the light off of Congressman Ron Paul, more and more people are hearing his words and taking him seriously. He's against the Federal Reserve Bank, and that has many in Washington nervous that he might reveal some of their dirty tricks. But Congressman Ron Paul may just be what America needs to wake up. For Press TV in Washington, I'm Nisa Islam.